The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Children were brought to Jesus that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not prevent them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." After he placed his hands on them, he went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's first reading from the end of the life of Joshua gives us a scene that on the surface is incredibly edifying, both on Joshua's part as well as the part of the Israelites. He gathered all the tribes there at Shechem. Shechem, you'll remember, is the place where Jesus met the Samaritan woman in the Gospel. He said, "Have awe of the Lord, fear the Lord with a holy fear, and serve Him completely and sincerely. Cast out all the gods your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Joshua knew the history in Egypt, as well as the golden calf and all the other idols in the desert. And he pointed out a very important principle. We're always worshiping something or someone. So he said, either we're going to be worshiping the Lord, or we're going to be worshiping ourselves or money or idols or something else. So he said, if it doesn't please you to serve the Lord, at least have the honesty today to decide whom you will serve. Whether it's going to be the gods, he wasn't encouraging them to do this, but he wanted them to make a clear choice. Then he said, as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. It wasn't just enough for him to make that personal choice. He was going to have his household be a household full of God. What was the people's response? "Far be it from us ever to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods. Sorry, you've been doing that for the last umpteen years, but far be it from us ever to be hypocrites like that." Then they recite salvation history, all that the Lord their God had done for them. And they were right in this, in summarizing all of it. Therefore, they conclude, "We will serve the Lord, for He is our God." Then Joshua, really concerned with them, says, "You may not be able to serve the Lord your God. For He's holy. He's jealous. He's going to hold you accountable. If after the good you've done, you forsake Him and serve strange gods, you're going to suffer evil and be destroyed. Warn them that this isn't a light decision." Their response, "We will still serve the Lord." So Joshua said, "You're your own witnesses that you have chosen to serve the Lord." They were doing it under oath, in other words. And they replied, "We are indeed." So we concluded, "Now therefore put away the strange gods that are all around you and turn your hearts to the Lord your God." And they concluded, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey His voice." On the surface, an incredibly edifying scene. Joshua's faith, his family's faith, the Israelites being asked three different times whether they're really going to do it, and they say, "Yes, we will." How'd it turn out? These people who had entered into the Holy Land were all 20 and under when the Jews had sinned in the desert. Everybody who was older than that, God held accountable for the idolatry in the desert. So they were all very young at that time, and so they were the parents' generation entering on in. And as we've discovered over the course of this last week in our parish summer Bible camp, soon as they got in there, they didn't even pass the faith down to their kids. So that within one generation, within 20 years, they were cavorting with all the Canaanites, worshiping Baal, totally turning their hearts away from the Lord their God. They had made this solemn commitment and they totally abandoned it. That's one of the reasons why Joshua said, "You may not be able to serve the Lord your God." but they affirmed over and over again that they were, and they totally failed. Why'd they fail? Was it that they were making these promises with their fingers crossed behind their back? No. They just weren't resolved enough. They weren't resolved. So it's a warning for us. We've made various promises. Promise of our baptism, that we will really reject Satan, all his evil works and all his empty promises. At our confirmation, that we will be the Holy Spirit's instrument to spread the faith to everybody we know with tongues of fire. We confirm every time we come up to receive the Lord in Holy Communion that we really believe, amen, that this is the reality, that this is Christ himself. We've heard many times and we've said thanks be to God every time the gospel's been proclaimed, that whatever we do to the least of Jesus' brothers and sisters, we do to him. But have those been words with a shallow heart like the Israelites? Or are those the chief decisions of our entire life? You know, whenever we renew baptismal vows, I always encourage people to remember that these promises we make are just as serious, in fact, even more serious than the promise a man and a woman make when they vow themselves to be each other's husband and wife. Those promises at marriage are taken by most, thanks be to God, very seriously. They put their whole heart into it. It's never routine. It's a choice that's going to impact the rest of their life, and that's the way they face it. We need to ponder our own choices for the Lord in that same way. One of the things that the Israelites were clearly not thinking about when they were saying, yes, 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 where do we have to sign to Joshua, was about the incredible duty they had to pass on the faith to their kids. Moses had said, tie it on their heads, put it on your doorposts. Everywhere you go, put the Lord's law so that nobody can forget it. Let it totally surround you. But within a generation, it hadn't been passed on. Jesus in today's gospel talks about that transmission, that he wants the children to be able to come to him, that God has always wanted children to be brought to him, not just permitted without opposition, but he wants to nourish the kids. And that's what the Israelites under Joshua had forgotten. They didn't pass the faith on to their kids, so that within a generation their kids were cavorting with all the pagan gods. Mary is the mother of the church. She is our mother in faith. She wants to bring us all to her son. Her entire work is precisely caught up in doing just that. But we need to be good sons of so great a mom and allow her truly to lead us into the depth of the mystery of her son, to recognize that our choice needs to be as definitive as her fiat. That's the choice in faith. You know, a lot of the times I think that we think our choices are kind of like the choice we make when we go to vote. Okay, who am I going to decide on? Who do I like more? Do I like this guy or that woman? And we can say that when we look at Joshua and the Israelites' choice as well as ours, do I like God more or do I like Baal? Okay, I'll vote for God. He's got my preference. But the Christian life isn't about choosing and evaluating as if we're God playing in the marketplace, a tune for God to dance by. To choose God means, if we were to use that political analogy, that we're going to work for his campaign. And in fact, we're going to sell our house for his campaign to make him win. We're not only going to sell our house, but we're going to try to get our neighbors to sell their houses, to give their entire life, to sell their cars, to do everything possible to make him win. That's what the choice for God means. And so today, God says to each of us here, choose today whom you're going to serve, not whom you're going to like. Are you prepared to serve the Lord? Are you prepared to do everything you can to bring everyone you know, kids, grandkids, God kids, to the Lord in your prayer by your Christian conduct and the joy we show by living the faith? Is this your choice? Mary, more than anything else, wants to help us to choose with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength. And in this context, I'd like to conclude with something that St. Thomas Aquinas once said about holiness. Mary wants to mother us toward holiness. And once St. Thomas was asked, what does one have to do to become a saint? He said, it's very easy. All you have to do is will it. Willing doesn't mean wishing. Ooh, I wish I could become holy. Willing means making a choice of your entire life for something. Willing it. And that's what Joshua was saying. Are you going to will to serve the Lord your God, or are you going to serve other gods? To make that definitive life choice, not to be served, but to serve the Lord in all that He asks. Today, Mary, our pillar of faith, shows us how to make that choice, to consecrate ourselves totally to God's service. She also shows us, 2 days after her Assumption, the great joy that comes from that selection. My soul rejoices in God my Savior. We ask her to intercede for us, that we and our families might in fact choose and will to serve God with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength. Praise be Jesus Christ.